Hello, everyone. Welcome all you brave souls here for the 4th of July. I hope you have a good time today. Just three announcements. First of all is to welcome Kristen back as our guest minister this week. So, and it's also always great to have Debbie back. So Debbie Sova is back here playing for us today. Final announcement is there will be a Women's Association meeting next Sunday, 7-11, at 10 a.m. in the church library. Thank you all very much. Any other announcements? Yes.
We need help with side dishes for Cayman Rowell's luncheon on the
14th. So, need help with side dishes for David Rowell's luncheon on the 14th of July. Anyone else? Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Please join me in our call to worship. Great is the Lord, and the most worthy of praise in the city of God, his holy nation. Beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth, like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of great kings. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. Please rise and join me in singing our opening hymn, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Join me in the prayer of confession. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, help us to admit our sin, so that as you come to us in mercy, we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Lord, have mercy upon us, heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let us join together in proclaiming our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let's greet each other.
Hello.
This time we lift up the prayers of our congregation and nation. Please pray with me. O God, your blessings are as plentiful as the stars above and as numerous as the grains of sand along the seashore. We come before you with grateful hearts as we pray for the church and the world. We pray for wisdom and guidance for all people and leaders of this world, that they may foster peace and justice and serve the common good. We pray for your church, that by your grace and our faith, we may serve you with constancy and love. We pray for those who are sick or suffer any need. We especially pray for Pastor Rebecca's aunt's mother and her family. Her aunt's mother passed away 2 days ago, and Rebecca will be doing the funeral on Tuesday. We also pray for the family of Bill Thomas, a friend and co-worker of Cliff's, who recently passed away from cancer at the age of 59. May they all know your healing strength and find comfort through our faithful care. Help us to protect the goodness of your creation, the peaks and valleys, coasts and deserts, fields and meadows, that all may enjoy the precious blessings of this world as a foretaste of the next. We thank you today, God, as we remember the birth of our nation and the gifts of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We thank you for those who braved the long sea voyage to a new world, the tribes and nations who inhabited this land for generations, those who laid the foundation of our democracy, and the men and women who built this country brick by brick, road by road, and town by town. We pray for the United States and all its inhabitants that we might be a nation which defends and promotes liberty and freedom, truth and justice. We pray that we might be humble enough to recognize our past, present, and future mistakes, to repent of our sins, and to ever return to you and your grace. Holy God, receive the prayers of your faithful people as we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's rise and sing our hymn of praise. O God, our help in ages past.
Thank you.
be seated. It is in joyful response to all that we have been given through Christ that we now return to God our tithes and offerings. Generous God, you pour out blessing and cover us with gifts of love. Accept these offerings for the sake of your children, that they may proclaim your mercy and embody your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord.
Friends, please pray with me. God of hope, open our eyes to your presence among us, that we may hear your word with clarity and assuredness of hope, as we follow you in all righteousness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I must say I had a bit of a panic attack when I realized that I had volunteered to preach today. I knew that it was the 4th of July, but like I knew it was July 4th, but I didn't realize that it was the 4th of July. You see, even before attending seminary, it seemed to me that preaching about a secular, especially a national holiday, is a bit blasphemous. It's really easy for us to get carried away by the spirit of patriotism and end up worshiping the United States rather than God, even when it's not the 4th of July. On the other hand, the birth of our nation, or the birth of our nation's independence, that's pretty meaningful. And if we believe that God is present in all things, then the creation of any nation fits into God's vision for the whole earth. And that should be celebrated. I love this country. I count being born in this time and in this place an incredible blessing. So I thought a nice compromise would be to talk to you about Hebrews and how you and I are strangers and immigrants. I know maybe you're thinking, like, hey, Kristen, I was born here. I'm a citizen. And I am too, right? But as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, those who are baptized no longer belong to the world. They no longer serve the world. And they're no longer subject to it. They belong to Christ alone and relate to the world only through Christ. And our passage for today shows us that we are actually citizens of God's kingdom, which makes us strangers and immigrants here on earth. Now, even though it's titled A Letter to the Hebrews, the whole book is actually a sermon. And it really could be preached very well today. It's addressed to a community that's been struggling. They've been enduring some hardships. And they're wondering if, you know, all of this Jesus stuff is all it's cracked up to be. Is it still worth it? You and I know that being a Christian doesn't mean that you won't face any hardships if you follow all of the rules. The goal of Hebrews is to provide faith and encouragement through these times of difficulty. It's helping the listeners envision what it looks like to live a life of faith when the benefits aren't really realized in a timely manner and the rewards aren't quite what you anticipated. When we get to chapter 11, we're given the definition of faith. And maybe some of you grew up in Sunday school and you had to, this is one of your memory verses. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this definition reminds us that having faith doesn't mean that we have arrived. Frankly, it's not even a guarantee of what will happen. Rather, faith is the unfolding of what is happening right now. And you know what's happening right now? The kingdom of God. Right now, at this very moment. The fact that we have faith means that the kingdom of God is at hand. Hebrews goes on to list some historic exemplars of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, even though she laughed. Not only did those people have faith in God, but God also had faith in them. Abraham had no idea where he was going. He only trusted that God would provide his inheritance. Even as Abraham lived in tents as a foreigner. He looked toward the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And even though Abraham was like a million years old and Sarah was barren, they produced countless descendants. Abraham and Sarah lived their lives based on a vision from God. And even though they didn't really live long enough to see that vision fully achieved, they embraced God's plan and they lived as if it were actually so. God provided places for them to flourish and to live in harmony, but didn't really intend for them to be permanently settled. They confessed they were strangers and foreigners on the earth as they were seeking a homeland. They knew that God had a country, a nation, a place much better than any they had ever seen or experienced. It was ready for them. Abraham and Sarah, they're immigrants everywhere they go on earth. They're constantly desiring a better country because they are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And sometimes I wonder, like, what does it mean to desire a better country, a heavenly one? America's pretty awesome. We're that city built upon a hill, a beacon of democracy, the land flowing with milk and honey, streets paved with gold. You've all experienced that, right? National holidays, not just U.S. holidays, bring out some of our deepest feelings of gratitude and love for our land and hopefulness. But they can also be occasions for reflection, maybe even confession of the dissonance between reality and aspiration. You see, we, as that, you know, city on a hill, we have these very high ideals, these very lofty goals here in the States. But the reality is that we often miss the mark. Our founding documents proclaim the equality of humankind with one stroke of the pen, and then define others as non-human with the other. We affirm the quest for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And at the same time, we condemn some people who are born into accidents of economics, into lives of misery and limitation. To be sure, we are not the only ones. All earthly countries are imperfect and ambiguous. They're run by humans, after all. But once we realize that we're being invited to imagine a heavenly home, a heavenly nation, how does that change how we might live on earth? Just as Abraham and Sarah and the others were on a journey towards the heavenly kingdom, as faith takes a hold of us, we're also encouraged to join on their pilgrimage. We are invited to be participants in God's kingdom. God's coming kingdom that has been achieved in Jesus Christ. Not just on Sunday during worship, but every day and in every setting in which we find ourselves. Ultimately, we cannot see the fullness of God's kingdom, and we very well may not see it fully, full fruition, but we're still supposed to live as if it is right here in front of us. And we hope for something that is still to come. And that's what drives and inspires us. As you consider God's goodness in giving you a foretaste and a share in the coming kingdom, I invite you to think about your faith individually and as a congregation. Personally, I've seen very exciting signs of God's faithfulness here in this congregation. And it helps me participate and continue on in that pilgrimage towards God's heavenly nation. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able and join me in the closing hymn, This Is My Song. Before we leave, let me send you out with a prayer and benediction. Please remember, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day until Christ comes to make all things well. Amen.